Well, my parents were in town a few years ago. A few weeks ago. They were here a few years ago, too. But my point is, wow, I have not had any coffee yet today. I am so sorry. You can tell. So I got all caught up on dad jokes with my dad in town. My dad was a math teacher for over 30 years, so not only does he have dad jokes, he also has math teacher jokes. Yes, Jerry's like, yeah. All right. He also has a ton of sayings that my kids have never heard anywhere else. So I've got one of those for you this morning. We'll see if you've heard this one before. I see, said the blind man, as he picked up his hammer and saw. Mike's on it. Okay. Of course, the dad slash math teacher in the congregation has heard that one. Yeah. It's good though, right? I see, as he picked up his hammer and saw. I know. I'm kind of sorry for telling that groaner of a dad thing, but I mean, come on. We've got a Bible story with a man born blind getting healed. What other day could I possibly use that one? Gotta use it. So we are wrapping up our sermon series today called God, Give Me a Sign. And today we have Jesus, the eye opener. So let's talk about seeing. When it comes to physically seeing, it's all about the eyes. And personally, my family history with eye issues is pretty spectacular, if I do say so myself. Whenever I go to a new eye doctor, you know, and they make you fill out the family history, check off everything that your family has, there are a lot of check marks on my form. I've got people with cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration, we've got it all. And I always tell my eye doctor, my eyes are like a ticking time bomb. We'll see which thing I end up with someday. Depends which side of the family I take after, right? And the doctor just shakes his head like, well, at least you have a good attitude. Like, what are you gonna do? So far, I just need glasses, and yes, they are bifocals. Thank goodness for bifocals. Now, in our Bible story, we don't know the family history of the man Jesus heals, but we do know that he was born blind. So if that happened today, we would probably try to figure out if there was some medical history that led to him being born blind. Or maybe there was a gene mutation or something happened in utero to cause his blindness. That's what we would think of first, right? Well, not so in our story. Jesus and his disciples noticed this man who was born blind, and the disciples asked Jesus, who sinned? Like, that's their first question. Who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Well, that's a question we would never ask. And we shouldn't ask because it's not how it works. But in that time and place, people assumed that if you had a medical issue, it was because somebody sinned. Okay? In this case, the disciples figured it had to be the man's sin or his parents' sin that caused his blindness. Jesus replies that that's not how it works. It's natural to try to figure out why bad things happen, but this story shows us it's not because of sin, and it's not some simple A to B, then C kind of thing. People aren't born blind because somebody sinned. Okay, now that we've gotten that out of the way, all cleared up, let's get to the rest of the story. So Jesus sees the man and decides to heal him. Now notice, the man doesn't seek out Jesus, and he doesn't ask to be healed. Jesus sees him, sees his situation, hears the disciples' assumption that sin was involved somehow, and decides to use this opportunity to perform a sign, to heal the man in order to bring glory to God and to make it clear that God has nothing against this man. To reiterate that sin played no part in his being born blind, which, let's be honest, the man and his parents probably thought was the case. I mean, that was part of their culture. So then Jesus heals the man in the absolute grossest way possible, right? He makes mud out of his own spit and dirt and puts it on the man's eyes. Blech. I think it's a good thing the man couldn't see Jesus, you know, getting the dirt and spitting in it and mushing it around and then coming at him to put it on his eyes. If he could see, he probably would have done this, you know? Get away from me with that stuff. Ugh. Okay. At any rate, the man can't see, so Jesus gets the mud on his eyes, no problem, and tells him to go wash. He washes, and he can see. Now, this is when we get into the idea of two kinds of seeing, right? Physically seeing with our eyes and seeing with our minds, understanding. Okay? When you look at this entire story, which I encourage you to do later today, it's such a good story, this whole ninth chapter of John. When you look through that whole story, you'll notice that the man who was healed, he can see with his eyes right away. Eyes are working perfectly as soon as he's healed. And when it comes to understanding who Jesus is, he sees bit by bit by bit. Until at the end of the story, he sees clearly that Jesus is from God. It takes a while. And what's fascinating about this is that he comes to see who Jesus is more clearly each time somebody asks him what happened. The other people in the story don't see. They don't get it. They're confused as all get out. So they keep asking him what happened and what does he have to say about this Jesus guy? And when he first tells what happened, he says, well, the man called Jesus healed me. Jesus is simply a man, according to him. But then, when the Pharisees ask him about Jesus later, he says, well, he is a prophet. You know, he's had some time to reflect on this, and he's starting to see. He's starting to understand who Jesus is. And then, the Pharisees really push him on Jesus' identity, saying that they don't know where this Jesus guy is from, and the man who is healed can't believe it. He essentially says, that's hysterical. He opened my eyes and you don't know where he comes from? No one who is born blind has ever been healed in the history of the world, ever. The only way Jesus could do this is if he's from God. He opened my eyes and you don't know where he's from? By the end of chapter 9, the man is talking with Jesus himself and says to him, Lord, I believe. It's like the man who was born blind has taken a gospel Claritin. His eyes have been working perfectly since he washed off the mud, but now he sees in a whole different way. Now he understands that Jesus is Lord. And that was the point of all the signs Jesus did while he was on earth. Because remember, signs point to a greater reality. A stop sign doesn't mean you crash into the sign and let it stop you, remember? A stop sign points to the reality that there's a place on the road next to the stop sign for you to stop. With Jesus' signs, he turned water into wine. The point wasn't that he could save the day at a wedding feast. The point was that he could do something no ordinary person could do. Because he's more than an ordinary person. Sign after sign after sign in John's gospel points to the reality that Jesus is divine. Last week, after the feeding of the thousands, the disciples were understanding more, but they weren't at the gospel Claritin point yet, right? Then they see Jesus walk on water, and he says to them, I am. And they wonder, Is it possible? Is Jesus God incarnate, the great I am? Like the man born blind, the disciples see who Jesus is bit by bit throughout the gospel. Their understanding becomes clearer with each sign, and ultimately it takes Jesus' resurrection to really solidify it for the disciples. And as I told the kids, you know, for us it's easier. We have the perspective of 2,000 years. We didn't have to wait to find out about the resurrection. We've known that from the beginning. And we have all these stories written down in one place, these signs. They didn't have that. They were living it day to day. In today's sign, Jesus opened the eyes of the man born blind to see physically and to see with his mind, to understand who Jesus is. So if Jesus is the eye opener, and he is, what does he open our eyes to see, and why? Well, John 20, verse 31 says, "These signs are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that through believing, you may have life in his name." So with these signs, Jesus opens our eyes to the reality that he's divine, so we can have abundant life now and for eternity. That's pretty clear. But there's more to it. Jesus also says in today's reading that he is the light of the world. So when we see who he is, the light is turned on. When you are in a pitch black room, or if you've ever been on a cave tour, you know what I'm talking about, when there's no light at all, who can you see? No one. No one. When the light turns on, then you can see other people. When we see who Jesus is, it's like the light turns on. We're able to see beyond ourselves. We see people in need, people on the margins, people in pain. Jesus opens our eyes to see people around us the way he does. Remember, the man born blind, he didn't approach Jesus. Jesus saw him and reached out in love. So with our eyes opened to the people around us, what do we do? We get to be Jesus' hands and feet. When we see with opened eyes, we reach out in love like Jesus did. We show up with Jesus in our hearts. We bring God near when we help and bring hope in whatever ways we can. There's a lot of hurt in the world. All you have to do is turn on the news, right? There's a lot of hurt, and it's easy to see the brokenness. Jesus opens our eyes to see the hurt and brokenness and to see how we can be his hands and feet to make things better. We have taken a gospel Claritin, friends. We see that Jesus is the Son of God, the light of the world, and we can see beyond ourselves. Let's reach out in hope with the hands and feet and voice of Jesus. Amen.